I could spend the next 3 months every Sunday going through this video piece by piece, exposing all the deliberate misrepresentations and historical twisting of facts by this guy who's supposed to be a Christian. But I'm going to go on next week and just talk about a few more things, but I don't want to go on too much tonight. Give you a chance to digest what we're talking about here. I'm going to wind down this message with a particularly insidious point that Mr. Pinto tries to make to prove that America was not founded as a Christian nation. And this has to do with an international treaty that America had to enter into with Tripoli in order to, save its fleets, its shipping, commercial shipping, from being taken pirates. It's a very interesting chapter in American history. I got a DVD the other week that talks about Islamic conquest throughout history, 1,400 years. This isn't just a 20th century thing, a 1948 thing, a 1912 thing. Islam has been at war with the West for 1,400 years. Some guy put out a DVD and goes through the history of it. And in one portion, he goes through the history of how the Muslims were taking American ships from the colonies when the country was first started. America wasn't strong enough to defeat those pirates, so they had to make a deal with them. They had to make a treaty with them. And there's a big to-do around this treaty because there's a clause in the treaty that says plainly that the government of America was not based on Christianity. And all these people who hate America, who hate the fact it was a Christian nation foundation, they use this point to prove that America was never intended to be a Christian nation. So I'm going to play this clip for you, and you can hear what he says about it. Okay? Let me switch this thing over here.
It was during the presidency of John Adams that the much-debated Treaty of Tripoli was signed. The treaty bears, perhaps, the most contrary statement against the idea of the United States as a Christian nation.
And the Treaty of Tripoli is, I think, the clearest declaration that the original founders of the United States of America did not believe that they were setting forth a Christian nation. Why? Because they specifically said so in this treaty. And what you have are patriots, diehard patriots, who will try to spin the Treaty of Tripoli and somehow or other state that it doesn't mean what it says. But there's no, if you read the entire treaty, there's no reason for them to come right out and say that the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. There's no reason to say that if they don't mean it. So they declare this, and according to the history, it was unanimously agreed to on the floor of the Senate. Now, why was it unanimously agreed to? The question, of course, is, well, wait a minute, where were all the Christian founders to leap to their feet and to lift up a shout against this treaty once they heard it? You would think that there would be at least one Christian who would have jumped up and said something.
The absence of Christians in the early American government would explain why no one objected to Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli. Yet while this treaty was confirmed under President John Adams, the origin of Article 11 may represent the unkindest cut of all. According to 19th century historian Moncure D. Conway, the controversial Article 11 was drafted by none other than George Washington. Conway said, President Washington, the first time he ever came in treaty with a non-Christian people, Tripoli, sent to the Senate a treaty which opened with the following: as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. There is the statement, Conway says, from the great Washington. The Treaty of Tripoli was drafted toward the end of Washington's presidency and then confirmed under John Adams. If Washington himself authored Article 11, it would further explain why no one would dare to question it. But also compels us, as we continue this journey, to investigate the real faith of the man who was at the heart of the American Revolution.
Sounds like a pretty damning evidence, doesn't it? Supposedly the greatest founding father, Washington, plainly and openly declared an international treaty that the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded upon the Christian religion. Let me repeat something he said there. He said, the Treaty of Tripoli is, I think, the clearest declaration that the original founders of the United States of America did not believe that they were setting forth a Christian nation. Why? Because they specifically said so in this treaty. And what you have are patriots, diehard patriots, who will try to spin the Treaty of Tripoli and somehow or other state that it doesn't mean what it says. But if you read the entire treaty, there's no reason for them to come right out and say that the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded upon the Christian religion. There's no reason for them to say that if they didn't mean it. Now, first of all, saying that diehard patriots spin that part of American history is pretty hypocritical coming from this guy. I mean, he just made a three-hour documentary that does nothing but spin early American history to suit his own purposes, all right? Now, you know, so he does admit that the Treaty of Tripoli is a much-debated document. He said it's a much-debated document. Why is it a much-debated document? Why do patriots contend that this treaty does not represent the truth about early America? Well, one reason the Treaty of Tripoli is a much-debated document is because of Article 11, which is the article that says the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded upon the Christian religion, that article cannot be validated. It cannot be validated. You see, because this little historical fact that Mr. Pinto will never tell you is the original Treaty of Tripoli has been lost forever. It's been lost for over 200 years. And that fact is well documented and easily verifiable. So there is a version of the treaty out there. It's on the internet and books, printed and stuff. But that version is a fraud. It's not the original one. The original one doesn't exist. And anyone who tries to pass off that forgery as the real thing is either ignorant of the truth or they're willingly bearing a false witness against the truth. Okay? Article 11 never belonged in that treaty, the Treaty of Tripoli. And the fact that it never belonged there is made clear that 8 years later, after they signed that copy that they were given, the United States Congress drafted a new version of the treaty, and they removed that anti-Christian language from Article 11. As a matter of fact, President Thomas Jefferson, who may claim is anti-Christian, maybe he's anti-Christian as Thomas Paine, he himself led the effort to remove that language. Now, Mr. Pinto, like many socialists and communists and atheists and secularists who agree with him, is trying to prove that America was not founded as a Christian nation by using this treaty. He thinks it's the clearest example. But he and his ilk would do well to avoid that whole issue because the historical facts prove just the opposite of what they're trying to prove. The copy of the treaty is on the internet and is readily available. That whole Article 11 reads like this. It says, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on a Christian religion, and as it has in itself under of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of the Muslimin, that's their term for Muslims, and as the said states never have entered into any war or act of hostility against any Mohammedan, that's Islamic nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. All right, now, whatever your personal opinion is or belief about the founding of America, the fact is that for the sake of truth and accuracy, you can't take a single document, much less a copy of the original document that's now lost, and then use it to undo or deny all the preceding centuries of Christian law that was clearly written into the many original documents upon which America was established. The treaty that this guy's talking about, it was an English version copy of an Arabic version copy of the original Arabic, which is now missing. It's very interesting. You can find the truth about this on the web if you go through and look up the Treaty of Tripoli. But most experts now agree there was no Article 11 in the original Arabic version, and it was inserted into the English copy that came back to America and was presented by Washington to the Congress. See, this document was created over in Tripoli, over in Libya, by the U.S. representative over there. On the authority of the president, they got together in council and they drew up this thing, and it was an Arabic version. And then he had to copy it and translate it from Arabic into English. And he sent the English version back on a ship to Congress, and that's the version George Washington took to the Congress to read. What happened was that phrase was inserted into the English copy that was to be sent back here while it was being translated from the Arabic, probably by that American diplomat whose name was Joel Barlow, who was himself a skeptic of Christianity. He was against Christianity and said you can see the reason why he would put that in there. Now, when the tampered English translation version got back to America and was presented to Congress for ratification in 1797, in spite of Article 11 being inserted there, they had to pass the treaty out of political expedience and immediate urgency, you see, because the Muslims were at that very moment stealing the ships, taking the captains and the crew, sell them as slaves in Africa. They had to get that treaty passed. The Muslims at that time had America over a barrel. The Americans didn't even know who the Muslims were. They hardly knew what they believed. They didn't know anything about them. So they had us over a barrel. We weren't ready. We didn't have a navy or anything like that. And they were taking our ships and putting our people prisoners and taking all, sending them as slaves. And so there was no time to redraft another treaty in American, in English, that would be suitable. I had to go through all these diplomatic channels, you know. And by the time it'd be another year by the time I got through there, all right? So they had to sign it then. That's why there was no one in Congress who stood up against it, all right? But 8 years later, we had raised a navy, and we got the upper hand militarily on those pirates. And at that time, we beat them, and we renegotiated another Tripoli document. And when we negotiated in American and English on our terms, that phrase was removed. So those who use the Treaty of Tripoli as evidence that America was not founded on a Christian nation, they're lying. They're using something that's dubious. And they know the whole... You can't look at that treaty without understanding the whole surrounding circumstances of it, what was going on at that time. But those same people like to ignore the Treaty of Paris, another treaty, 1783, which formally ended the Revolutionary War. And this treaty was negotiated by Benjamin Franklin in English and John Adams, among others. And that is a truly foundational document for America because it's this treaty. By this treaty, the war with Britain ended and Britain recognized the independence of the United States. And that treaty begins with the words, "In the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity, in having pleased the divine providence," so and so and so on. They're right there, they're mentioning the government is speaking in the name of the Holy Trinity, okay? The Holy Trinity is involved in the government in this treaty. And no qualified historian and any of the congressional records has ever questioned the validity of the Treaty of Paris, like they have the falsified Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli. Now, Mr. Pinto knows this history. He knows the arguments against that thing. He knows exactly what happened, and he's choosing to only present one side to make it sound like an invincible argument to prove that America was not founded on a Christian. That George Washington himself proclaimed that Christianity has nothing to do with America. That man's a liar. He is a snake. He is filled with the spirit of Antichrist. I happen to agree with Mr. Pinto on this point, that Christians today should not become political activists. Unless you hear a clear word from the Lord to do so. I mean, I'm not saying it's a sin, but unless you hear a clear word of the Lord to get involved in politics, I don't believe you should be involved in politics. And I'm not aligning myself with the patriotic movement or with this big surge to try and save America by this message. Y'all know I believe it's far too late to restore America to its original greatness or its Christian heritage. But to say that America was never a Christian nation and that the founders of this nation were nothing but a bunch of antichrists is a monumental lie. It's a lie. And I wonder how many Christians, if they didn't know any history, would watch that movie, which is very convincing, and to walk away from that 3 hours later, would be convinced this guy's right. I wonder how many. I wonder how many has the discernment, without knowing all the facts, just the sheer discernment to watch that thing and know in your spirit that it's a lie. This guy's twisted. Somehow, I don't care how foolproof he makes it sound. My spirit's telling me it's a lie. How many Christians can do that? I certainly did. I'm not a great historian. I don't think I know as much as this guy, Mr. Pinto. I'm sure he knows a lot more history than I do. But I knew when I watched that thing, the spirit of God in me rose up and said, this man's a liar. This man's a deceiver. And that's the kind of spirit we need to walk in, brethren. It knows. You don't need the facts to know when something's wrong. All right? God will show you the facts later. You got to know by the spirit what's going on. But anyway, I agree with him. You know, we shouldn't be trying to save the nation and bring it back and all that. But he's going about it the wrong way. If he wants to really help today's Christians who are fasting and praying and working feverishly and getting involved in politics in order to bring the nation back to God and restore it to its former greatness, then the way he can help them is not to try and tell them that America was not founded as a Christian nation. First of all, they're going to reject everything he says out of hand because they know that's not true. So right there, he just lost his whole audience. If you're patriotic or if you have any kind of love for what the nation was. The way to help today's Christians is to tell them the battle they're fighting is the wrong battle because it's a losing battle. It's too late to save America. Not that America was never Christian. Not that America was always evil. Not that it was raised up by Antichrist. But it's come too far. It's too late to bring it back. It's too late in God's timetable to bring it back. It's God's time for America to go down, for the Antichrist beast to rise up, for the tribulation to be poured out, and for God's kingdom to come. That's the timetable we're in. That's what he needs to be telling people. I'm not trying to say America was never a Christian nation, founded by Masons, Illuminati. It was raised up to bring up the New World Order, all that crap. He needs to tell them that at this point, only individuals can be saved. The nation can't be saved. It cannot be saved. I don't care if everybody in the Senate, everybody in the House, all the judges, and all the president is Republican. It will not be saved. But there's individuals who can be saved. That's why we tell the truth. They keep exposing things. What this guy needs to do is show that the reason most Christians are fighting to save America is because their motives are impure. They're not trying to save the nation because God and his kingdom are their first priority. They're trying to save the nation because their own interests, their own lusts, their own desires are their first priority. And if America is destroyed, if America loses its liberty, if America succumbs to the New World Order or Islam or anything else, then they're going to lose the ability to pursue their own lusts, their own interests, their own desires. And that's why most of the people, including Christian people, are fighting to save the nation. This debate has been going on for a long time over the religious convictions of the founding fathers. You know, were they Christians? Were they not Christians? Did you believe in the God of the Old Testament? Did they reject Jesus? Were they just living immoral lives? Or what exactly what they believed? And I'll tell you, it's really irrelevant what they believed. The only thing that matters if you want to get in that kind of argument is what kind of government did they leave us? I don't care if you prove George Washington wasn't a real Christian. Doesn't matter. George Washington left us a government that was based on Christianity, that encouraged Christianity. And the spirit of Antichrist won't do that. That doesn't mean George Washington was a Christian, but I don't care what he was. He wasn't an Antichrist because the spirit of Antichrist would never leave you a government that they left us. So the issue of what their personal beliefs were is really not that relevant. The thing that matters is what kind of government did they leave us. Pinto can give me all the information he wants. You know, he can say Jefferson and Payne and Franklin and Washington are all in hell. That's fine, but he can't deny the kind of government they left us, which I'm going to go through next week a little bit. That government is not a Masonic government, wasn't a humanist government, wasn't an Enlightenment-type government, wasn't an Illuminati government. It was a government that was firmly rooted in and grounded upon the Bible and the Christian religion, and that you cannot disprove. Now, I just want to say one more thing here before I close tonight. People like Mr. Pinto, he's a Baptist, they love to proclaim the sovereignty of God, okay? And you'll hear these kinds of ministers saying quite frequently that it's God who raises up kings and it's God who put down kings, right? As a matter of fact, they're continually quoting Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 4 to prove their exalted view of God's sovereignty, that God has to control everything. Nothing happens that God doesn't do himself. For instance, in Daniel 2, 20 through 21, he says, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings, he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Daniel 4, 17 and verse 32 says this, "This matters by decree of the watchers," talking about Nebuchadnezzar, "and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will and setteth up over him the basis of men. And they shall drive thee," talking about Nebuchadnezzar, "from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the fields. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Okay, so they like to quote these things all the time to say, hey, Hitler was raised up by God. Mao Zedong was raised up by God. Khrushchev and all the communists, they're raised up by God. God's sovereign. He sets up kings, he removes kings, all right? Yet, Mr. Pinto, for 3 hours, tells you that, well, guess what? When it comes to America, God's really not sovereign. It was the Antichrist who rose America up. It was the spirit of Thomas Paine, which is the spirit of Antichrist, that raised up America. It was the spirit of Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, which is the spirit of Antichrist, that raised this nation up. It wasn't the sovereignty of God. It was the spirit of Antichrist. We've all been duped. Well, Mr. Pinto, which is it? Did the sovereign God of heaven raise America up? Or was it Satan that rose America up? You can't have it both ways, pal. I'm sorry I'm a little upset tonight because it's not that I still love America and I'm trying to save America, but this nation was great and it was founded on Christianity and it did honor God for many, many years. And to deny that is sick. It's demonic. And I just want to expose this guy because he thinks he's hot stuff. He's running around on talk shows and on blogs. Everybody's thinking he's just cats meow. He discovered all this stuff that we need to know about the American Revolution. Christians are so gullible. Anyway, that's what I had for this week, and I'm going to finish it next week, okay? So if you don't want to know about America's Christian heritage, don't bother coming back. Come back in 2 weeks. But that's what I'm going to do next week. I'm going to go through more of this. I'm not going to do too much more of his video. This guy's a nutcase. All right, that's it for tonight. Anybody else have anything to share or you want to say anything? Or oh, it looks like, look, okay. Cameron's going to share something. He had something he wanted to share. I think a little testimony he wanted to share.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Mr. Pintos is a sick guy. All right, well, hi, everyone. Hi, Andrew and Megan. Hi, Kim and Irma. And hi, Julie and Jane. I wanted to share my testimony tonight. I'd first like to start off by saying that I had grown up with loving parents. Jamie is my father. I grew up in a very moral house and in a way being spoiled. I've been homeschooled all my life. I went to church when I was 8 years old, and I was only went to church for about 3 years, so I've never really been in that kind of a mess too much. I really thought I had it all, except Jesus, in my life. In my younger teen years, I believed in heaven and hell, so I just started being religious and using the Lord as fire insurance to save me from going to hell. I had a terrible problem with girls, with pride, being two-faced, and definitely loving the things of this world. I knew about Dan at the time, but I didn't want to hear the things he had to say. I'd much rather play computer games and troll the internet instead of caring about following the Lord or listening to Dan on Pal Talk. However, praise the Lord, my dad has been walking with the Lord for a long time, and he had doubts if I or my brothers or sister were saved. And in July 2010, my dad went to go see Dan and Mama Annabelle to confirm his thoughts about us. When Dad got back, if I remember right, he flat out said we were going to hell. I was stunned, shaken, and scared. Though I knew I was a sinner and deserved hell, I had a false conversion. I wanted to have all the things of this world, plus Jesus. Really, again, I was just trying to save myself from hell, when really I had no idea why I even needed Jesus. I had religious spirits as well as other spirits, and I wanted help. So I was told to quit praying, listening to music, and reading the Bible, which was the best thing I could do at that time. About 4 weeks after that, my family and I watched a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade, which changed my life completely. I found that Jesus had died on the cross for me and would cleanse me of my past sins. I saw that this walk is not about how this will benefit me or how this will glorify me. Instead, I look at how this will bring glory to the Lord and what I can do to please and serve the Lord 100%. I fell in love with the Lord and gave my life for Him, and on October 2nd, 2010, I was baptized. I look back now and see what a mess I was in, and now that I have quit playing computer games and actually viewing trash on the internet and eating the latest and greatest electronics, I see what a waste those things were in my life, for certainly they will not have a place in the kingdom. I'm by no means perfect, and I struggle to stay free from temptations every day. And without the Lord's help, I know I would fall flat on my face. So, here I am living in Pennsylvania with Dan in the group, hungry for more of the Lord. So, that's about it. I'm glad to see you all here. I guess that's all I have to share, so I will give the mic back to Dan here. Goodbye.
Good testimony. Amen. Alright, that was Cameron. Cameron and Seth are here. And they're living out in the barn. The boys' dorm, which they built with Joey. And actually, we're just finishing the bathroom out there this week. And then we're going to try and start the girls' dorm. Yeah, Cameron said he wanted to share his testimony. He's kind of a new Christian. He's got a love for the Lord. He's a real blessing. Alrighty. Well, if anybody have anything to share or say or ask or anything. No? Okay. Well, this wasn't very spiritual tonight, I know. But truth is still important. And whatever motivates this guy, it's some kind of spirit. And even listening to something natural like that, if you believe it, if you accept it, you're going to come out of whatever spirit he's walking under. And I can't stand people saying that something God did in history was the devil. You deal with that stuff all the time with the sons of God, the manifestation of sons of God, and all this. You know, they try to tie that, you know, this prophetic movement and everything back to 1948, a lot of rain, when, and just people are constantly, because of their ignorance, and they overreact, they're constantly attributing the things that God has done through history as the devil. And finally, I just get sick of it after a while. Well, Lisa says, yes, I was wondering what this spirit was trying to accomplish. Well, he's trying to stop Christians from being politically involved. He thinks the real battle is spiritual, which is true. It's not that that's not true. It's the way he's trying to convince them not to be. You don't convince people to get out of what they're doing wrong by telling a bunch of lies. And so he's just using lies to try and stop people from being patriotic, trying to stop people from being out in the natural. And I don't know what his view of spiritual warfare is, but he wants them involved in some kind of spiritual war, if it's a real spiritual war. But I don't know what kind of spirit he's in. I kind of doubt it's the real spiritual war. I just can't stand it when I know God raised this nation up. And I know most of the leaders were godly people in the beginning. Most of the people were godly people. And I can't stand seeing what God's done being said it's the devil that did it. And I don't care if it's in the political realm. I don't care if it's in the religious realm. I just can't stand that. He's blackening the name of the God who raised this nation up. Now, this nation turned its back on God. God's going to judge it. I don't love America. I don't want to see it saved. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a Christian nation. That doesn't mean God didn't raise it up. You know, you're taking the glory away from God for something he's done. Anyway, well, I'm going to finish this next week in case anybody out there still has doubts that God raised this nation up at the beginning. I'm doing a chat room, so I got something on my chest I want to get off. You're the victims. You're going to have to listen to it. Anyway, okay, last call. Anybody have anything to share? Alrighty. Well, if anybody's interested in hearing the rest of this, come back next week. If not, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Alrighty? Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. God willing, the river don't rise.